live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Hey, folks. Yes, we are now just 2 days away from the start of Big Ten football. More importantly, we are 2 days away from the start of Michigan State football. That's right. It is game week here on WKAR's Current Sports. We have been getting you all ready, getting you all prepared and revved up. Not like you really need much revving up because you have been waiting for this moment for a long, long time, long overdue. But we've been getting you prepared throughout this week for the start of Michigan State football as Michigan State will open up its season against Rutgers come this Saturday afternoon at Spartan Stadium. And it's going to be a great time. You know, and I know, you can't tailgate, you know, and as far as the in-game experience goes, there will be no fans. There will be no cheerleaders. There, hopefully, I think there'll be a Sparty, right? I think Sparty will be in the house. But no Zeke the Wonder Dog. None of that is going down. It will be mostly just, you know, hard-nosed Big Ten football as Michigan State tries to open up the Mel Tucker era with a win. And on today's Current Sports, seeing as though, you know, we do just have 2 days left, and we're talking about Thursday now, I want to talk about what we can expect to see from this Michigan State football team. And I know, you know, on Tuesday's Current Sports, when we rolled in the first game week presser for Mel Tucker, you know, Mel was asked this week about, you know, what does the depth chart actually look like? You know, who is the starting quarterback? What do those position battles look like? Which we do have an idea when it comes to that. But, you know, there was no depth chart released. So we really don't know who the starters are right now. You know, it's an ongoing battle, you know, even just 2 days away, as Mel Tucker put it. So I'll start to make some predictions on what the roster will look like, who the starting quarterback will be, what kind of offense we'll see, that kind of stuff. I'll start to do that on today's Current Sports, all right? And, you know, you guys already know my prediction right now. I think that Michigan State, you know, and again, this is totally me not thinking with my head and more so my heart here, you know, a new era of Michigan State football. And also this year being just so different. I mean, we're talking about the year of the coronavirus in which some weird things have happened throughout this year. So why not? Why can't Michigan State, you know, start off the year? They're going to win against Rutgers. That's the reason why they are an 11.5-point favorite. I will be incredibly shocked if Michigan State, despite all of the question marks we see on this team, I think we all would be shocked if Michigan State fell to Rutgers because Rutgers is just that bad. They have been, you know, no offense to Rutgers, but they have been the laughingstock of the Big Ten for a long time now. I don't think any of us expect Michigan State to fall to Rutgers, which is why we see that 11.5-point line in favor of the Spartans out there right now in Vegas. So Why can't they get just four more wins after that, after they beat Rutgers? Now, I know, I'm not saying it's going to be easy to get five wins, but, I mean, you start off the year with a win like that. You don't play the big dogs of the Big Ten in Penn State and Ohio State until later on in the year. Yes, you do have Michigan, but that will be next week on Halloween afternoon, and we all know Michigan always stumbles out the gates. I'm just saying, don't be surprised if this team has five wins. So I'll give you, you know, more reasoning behind that five-win prediction, and we'll take a look at the Big Ten Conference and what does the Big Ten exactly look like. And it's just so – it's really so hard to come to, you know, some kind of solid, concrete conclusions right now because, you know, in the year of COVID and other schools out there having athletes that have tested positive – you know, we really don't know what a lot of these rosters will look like. We're just kind of making our best educated guess at this point. All right. But we'll dive into it. Okay. We also got a lot of news, a very busy current sports quick hit headliners coming your way in just a moment. Some news concerning a former Detroit Pistons head coach. Also, interest surrounding Antonio Brown, the controversial wide receiver, to say the least, in the National Football League. He hasn't played in a while, but, you know, he still has interest because he is such a dynamic athlete. We got a World Series update for you guys, and we've got some college sporting news concerning Odell Beckham Jr. being banned from a certain school and a certain Big Ten men's basketball coach who will not be coaching a certain university. Yeah, a very, very busy headliner segment coming your way. And then on the back end of the show, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you. All right. So as we've been doing throughout the week, I mean, if you would like to be a part of current sports, you can do so. You may not be able to call live here on the airwaves, but you can still call in and leave me a voicemail. And I will roll that voice message right here on WKAR's Current Sports. The number is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right? But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, I want to begin here because by the end of the week, by tomorrow, we will know what is going to happen with winter sports as the MHSAA's representative council is slated to meet today to decide how the winter could look and determine guidelines. Will winter sports practices begin as scheduled, with gymnastics slated to start on Monday and hockey and girls basketball beginning their official preparations in the following weeks? That's the biggest topic of discussion for the council as it will look to navigate indoor sports and the ongoing pandemic. This is what MHSAA Executive Director Mark Yule said on the statewide huge radio show. Quote, "The first thing we're going to have to decide is, do we start practicing and competing one time? Does that make sense? Does a pause or a delay make sense?" Now, if winter practices don't begin as scheduled, he fears that other non-school sports organizations could swoop in and provide opportunities for athletes until the season begins. That concern and spectators indoors will be big parts of the discussion surrounding the winter. Now, that's what you will note it. So they want to make this decision as soon as possible. They want to make it this week so that they can give young men and women out there and parents alike the opportunity to evaluate whether or not they want their son or daughter playing and whether or not their son or daughter wants to play and act accordingly. Because the longer they wait, yeah, like Yule said, I mean, there will be other leagues out there that aren't high school sporting leagues who would come in and say, hey, well, the MHSAA doesn't want you to play. Well, you can play for us. And we all know that right now we are really in like the second wave. The numbers continue to go up when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic. We're right, you know, starting flu season now, and people are getting infected left and right. So yeah, it's pretty wild right now. And right now the U.S. tops 1,000 daily COVID deaths. So, yeah, just a lot going on in our world, and we've all seen it. It's having a profound effect in the sports world. Okay, a meeting consisting of mayors around Big Ten communities, which included Aaron Stevens of East Lansing and Andy Shore of Lansing, they met to discuss and share ideas on how to ensure the safest environment possible in light of COVID-19. This has led to a letter from the group of mayors sent to the Big Ten Conference earlier this week. Now, with Big Ten football beginning this week, the group highlighted how this could pose new problems, such as an increase in communal activity like social gatherings and also increased alcohol consumption. That's a no-brainer, right? The mayors requested that the conference work with local community health officials to define population positivity rates, which are used as guidelines for play. As we all know, the Big Ten, when outlining their plan to try and make a return to football safely, they will look at the said community's positivity rates when it comes to the coronavirus, and they would look at those rates, compare it to, you know, what kind of outbreak that they're seeing at that said Big Ten school, and then use that as a guideline whether or not that school should continue play or go on lockdown and shut down things and press the pause button. So they have also, these mayors have also requested that the Big Ten release game times and schedules as early as possible, not in the evening or late afternoon, due to the fact that late start times are usually associated with increased community activity. So these group of mayors got together and said, okay, the Big Ten is starting. How do we, as the mayors of these Big Ten communities, make sure that the Big Ten Conference is operating safely? So, yeah, these are going to be ongoing discussions, and we'll see. We'll see what happens as the season gets underway starting this weekend. All right, more than 2 years after stepping down as the Detroit Pistons head coach and president of basketball operations, Stan Van Gundy is back in the NBA. The New Orleans Pelicans have hired Van Gundy as their new head coach. The hire comes 2 months after the Pelicans fired previous head coach Alvin Gentry back in August. Van Gundy was with the Pistons from 2014 until May of 2018. His tenure was mixed as he went 152 and 176 overall through four seasons and led the franchise to his first playoff appearance in 7 years back in 2016. But you know, other than that, not great success for Stan Van in the D. Van Gundy, who is 61 years old, he will coach a roster centered around Zion Williamson, the first pick of the 2019 NBA draft. And, you know, Zion in that rookie campaign, you know, he was riddled with injuries. And, you know, we'll see what happens now as Van Gundy takes over the leadership out in New Orleans. And you know, as I read that headliner, I think about my former engineer, Isaac Constance. If you remember, those longtime listeners out there of WKAR's current sports know that Isaac from NOLA was the biggest New Orleans Pelicans fan, is the biggest New Orleans Pelicans fan that I've ever met. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, he was a student at Michigan State and was my student engineer for four years. And we had numerous conversations about Stan Van Gundy and the Detroit Pistons. And now Stan Van hops to his team. So I wonder how he's feeling today. I might have to shoot him a text later on. Okay, through all the struggles, all the moments when it looked like he shouldn't, be down in the lineup at all, Brandon Lowe believed. He had built himself into one of the American League's best hitters, and no slump, not even one during the playoffs, could derail that. The Tampa Bay Rays kept believing in Lowe, too. And in Game 2 of the World Series, both were rewarded handsomely for their faith. Lowe became the first player to hit two opposite field homers in a World Series game, and the Tampa Bay Rays bullpen bent but did not break as they held on, squeaking out a 6-4 victory last night to even the series at one game apiece. That's right, folks. The World Series is now even. That was big stuff. Brandon Lowe, big stuff. Again, becoming the first player to hit two opposite field homers in a World Series game. You know, this game has been around for quite some time, and anytime you can make history like that, it just shows how special it truly is. So the World Series takes a break today and will resume on Friday in Arlington, Texas. All right, Louisiana State University, LSU, has self-imposed penalties related to the NCAA's investigation into improper booster payments to its football players. That's what a university spokesperson confirmed to ESPN last night. Now, Sports Illustrated first reported that the Tigers will lose 8 scholarships over 2 years, also will reduce recruiting visits, evaluations, and communication, and have banned Cleveland Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., one of the biggest names in the National Football League. Odell Beckham Jr., OBJ, has been banned from the LSU football facilities for not 1 but 2 years. How about that? Remember when, you know, LSU won the national championship and OBJ was down there celebrating, and then he was in the locker room and, you know, we saw some green dollar bills floating around? Yeah. So LSU's football program is charged with a level 3 violation involving Beckham, who is a former Tiger star, who reportedly gave $2,000 in cash to 4 Tigers football players on the field after the team's 42-25 dub over Clemson in the college football playoff national championship game on January 13th. And we saw it on camera as well. So, OBJ now banned. But, you know, this storyline is a bit ridiculous to me, and I'll explain later on this hour. Okay, I just wanted to kind of set the table here and pass that story along to you all. Okay, and with Antonio Brown's suspension eligible to end after Week 8, the Seattle Seahawks are now positioned to make a push to sign him, though they aren't alone. Sources tell ESPN that, you know, both of Seattle's quarterbacks, Russell Wilson and Geno Smith, are friends with Brown, worked out with him during the offseason. There's actually a video that I saw on my Instagram feed yesterday floating around with Russell Wilson throwing passes to Antonio Brown. But both Wilson and Smith working out with him in the offseason, they have remained in touch with him about the idea of bringing him to Seattle. The organization is intrigued by the idea of matching Brown with an MVP candidate like Wilson, who has been lights out this year, and an offense that already is as potent as any in the league. However, other teams have also expressed interest, and Seattle and Brown have not started official contract talks, making a Seattle match not a lock. There has been more and more activity around Brown in recent days, and teams are positioning themselves to make a move so that the wide receiver is ready to play as soon as he is reinstated. And that's the thing. I always say, does your talent outweigh the distraction? Well, in the case of Antonio Brown, you can make a strong case that it does, because Antonio Brown is a future Pro Football Hall of Famer. When you look at how he impacts a game on the offensive side of the ball, there's no doubt that he garners a ton of attention because he has great, great hands. I mean, he's one of those receivers who is just gifted in every single area. You can just throw it up to him, and, you know, it's a pretty good chance that he is going to make a great play on the ball, and, you know, more times than not, he catches it, okay? So there are a lot of teams out there that are struggling, or like Seattle. I mean, Seattle's not struggling. They're one of the best teams in the league right now. Again, you have an MVP candidate in Russell Wilson, just looking to get better as the season goes along. And if they add Antonio Brown, if he's been keeping in shape and if he is still game ready, boy, that would be quite the acquisition. All right, Super Bowl in March. Entering the 2020 season, the NFL formed multiple contingency plans in response to the COVID-19 global pandemic. Now, the league could extend the season by moving the Super Bowl to March of next year instead of February, when it's usually played. That's because of coronavirus scheduling changes. Green Bay Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy said during a virtual pep rally prior to the team's game against the Buccaneers on Sunday, quote, "We could move the Super Bowl back as far as 4 weeks. Obviously, we prefer not to do that, but you do have that flexibility if we run into a number of outbreaks with different teams or if we have to kind of move the schedule back." So the Super Bowl in March would be weird, but hey, everything has been weird this year, right? Everything has been weird this sports season. I mean, the NBA Finals just wrapped up earlier this month in October. So, and you know, it's just a crazy, crazy time right now. And pushing it to March, I mean, that doesn't do much, right, to affect your sporting schedule. It's just one day. I know March Madness is scheduled to happen in March, duh. But it's just one day. So that's the time that we're living in right now. So this is a pretty shocking story. Penn State men's basketball coach Pat Chambers, he resigned on Wednesday following an investigation into new allegations of inappropriate conduct. That's what the school announced. Chambers was in hot water after Rasir Bolton, who transferred from Penn State to Iowa State during Chambers' tenure, Bolton alleged that the coach made an inappropriate reference to a noose with him. Per Penn State, new allegations against Chambers surfaced after Bolton spoke to the Undefeated about the incident, and a review was conducted by the school's Affirmative Action and Athletics Integrity offices. It does not specify what those allegations were, though Penn Live's David Jones reports that investigators spoke to many players and coaches about Chambers' treatment of them, as well as possible recruiting irregularities. Penn State assistant coach Jim Ferry will now serve as the interim head coach for the upcoming 2020-2021 season. So there you have that story. You know, Pat Chambers, you know, when this story came out, you just don't know who these coaches are at the end of the day. You don't know, I'll say this, you don't know what's happening behind the scenes when it comes to, you know, athletic programs. You know, Pat Chambers, if you see him on the sideline, you know, he kind of looks like an angry guy, doesn't he? I mean, he shows his emotion on the sideline, and, you know, we've seen him yell at players, and, you know, you just don't know what's happening behind the scenes. Now, I'm not saying he's guilty of this. Again, he's being investigated of this. But, you know, there have been numerous coaches. I'll just say this. Numerous coaches who have crossed obvious lines in trying to, quote unquote, motivate their young men. But if he referenced a noose, I mean, how stupid can you be in the times that we're living in, especially in the conversations that we're having on a regular basis now about inequality in America and race in America? I mean, to make a reference like that was just, if he's found guilty, if Pat did in fact do this, how stupid can you be? Okay, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you would like to be a part of the show, you know there are multiple ways in which you can do that. Would love to hear your voice. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can leave us a voicemail at that number. You can also tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle, or you can tweet the show at WKAR News. Or if you are a Facebook fanatic, just simply go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. All right. So let's hit our first break. When we come back, I will dive into some Michigan State football talk, seeing as though we are just 2 days away from the start of the MSU football season. Mel Tucker making his debut. What will this team look like? What can we expect? What are the realistic expectations? Because I'm sure that the majority doesn't agree that Michigan State is going to win 5 games. But I say, why not? Crazy, crazy year. Every team is kind of scrambling right now to prepare for this upcoming season. This will not be your normal Big Ten season. You know, you can look at it two ways. I'll explain. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I know that there is so much excitement in the air, Michigan State fans. So much, right? You know, in a normal year, you would be planning your tailgate with family and friends, those who do tailgate on the Michigan State campus. You know, and there's nothing like that first week, right? Because that first week of Michigan State football, that first home game of the year, is pretty special. You know, just walking around campus and seeing all of the fans and hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill and people playing cornhole and, you know, beer pong and so on and so forth. It is an amazing time. An amazing, amazing time. And we all know this year is so different. There will be none of that. It's going to be such a different atmosphere like we've seen around college football this season. As you turn on your TV on a Saturday afternoon and watch these college football games, you know, most college football venues don't have fans, and you're watching just the game. It's just all about football. And for football fanatics out there who don't like the extra on top of their college football and just like the game purist, which I don't, you know, I think even most game purists still like that atmosphere, you know, hearing the band after every play, so on and so forth. But if you are a football nut, I mean, you really appreciate just seeing football on your television. And even if you're just a casual fan, I mean, especially Michigan State fans out there starting the year this weekend, you're just going to be grateful to see Michigan State football on your television. And it's going to give you a great feeling to start, at least to see. It's going to be refreshing, I'll say, to see a new man in charge of this team in Mel Tucker. Now, at this point, we don't know if he's the right man for the job. Michigan State believes that he is the right man for the job, but again, he hasn't coached a game yet. He hasn't won yet. You know, he's coming from Colorado, had an okay first year there, and now he comes back to Michigan State, a place where he was a grad assistant back in the day. Familiar with the program, familiar with the culture. You talk to players who have been practicing under Tucker these last few weeks, and they love him. You know, say that he's a fiery guy who demands a lot of this team and expects a lot from them. I love his demeanor. I love, you know, how he's approached us media members with a ton of respect and a ton of enthusiasm. He's so active on social media, so he's connecting with young recruits and young fans out there, and he's got a great personality. I like him. But can he coach? That is the big question. Can he coach in the Big Ten? And Mel Tucker has been very mum on what this team will look like from the standpoint of scheme and also from the standpoint of player personnel. Who will be the starting quarterback? What do your starters look like, period? Position battles, everybody's in the hunt. Be relentless, right? You know, hashtag relentless. he's not giving us much. And, you know, that may be frustrating for fans out there, but as a member of the media, even though I would get so, it's just so frustrating when you're conducting an interview as a sports reporter and you are getting all of these cliche answers. And every coach does it. Every coach does it. But Mark D'Antonio was, I mean, he was like that every single time that you know, with the exception of during the glory years when Michigan State would win, you know, Rose Bowls and Cotton Bowls and, you know, go to the college football playoff. You know, when we saw Mark D'Antonio accomplish those feats, I mean, he opened up and really showed his personality. But for the most part, the average Mark D'Antonio press conference was just so stale, and you didn't really get anything from it. And with Mel Tucker entering his first year, I see a lot of similarities in how Mel Tucker answers questions, at least right now. I mean, maybe if Michigan State starts winning, he'll open up a little bit as well, because winning makes everybody happy. It puts everybody in a good mood. But right now, he is in full D'Antonio mode, which I know you don't want to start comparing Mel Tucker to Mark D'Antonio right now and finding similarities already. I mean, you want to see a totally different team than what we saw on the back end of the Mark D'Antonio era. But the way Mel Tucker is approaching this right now, and I think, you know, when you start to think about it, you get it. I get it. I understand it. The circumstances with which you were hired, Coach Tucker, were not ideal. You are well behind the eight ball right now. Now, the fact that you were hired, you know, after signing day, you know, that week of signing day is when Mark D'Antonio decided to chuck up the deuces and say, thank you, Spartan Nation, but I'm out of here. You were tremendously behind the eight ball to start, and then you throw in what COVID has done. Yeah, we're going to play. No, we're not going to play. Yeah, we're going to play now. And trying to, you know, deal with also positive cases. We've seen, you know, these reports come out on the weekly when it comes to Michigan State athletics. And you better believe that some of those numbers, even though we don't know names, some of those numbers have to do with the Michigan State football team. That's a pretty safe assumption, I think. I mean, heck, Tom Izzo came out and said that they had to deal with, you know, during the first official practice of the year last week. I mean, he said, basically came out and said that, hey, we've had positive cases for us. So, you know, when you're juggling all that stuff, man, you don't want to put anything out there in the media that's going to be another distraction from the goals that you have for your squad. So I get why he's not opening up and telling us everything, saying, hey, these are my starters, these are my guys. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is doing the same thing. Everybody's doing the same thing right now, I think, just because it's just such a different year. So we don't know what this Michigan State football team will look like this season. You know, I've been asked that multiple times. We don't know how competitive they will be. You know, realistically, I think most folks out there, most Spartan fans out there, unless you are delusional, a delusional diehard, you know, you see maybe 3 or 4 wins for Michigan State this season. And Mel Tucker, I mean, this is a coach who has taken over a program that has finished each of the last 2 seasons 7-6. Does not have a proven quarterback. That's the big question mark right now. Who is the quarterback? Who's the quarterback? That's what everybody wants to know. Now, my prediction right now, I think Rocky Lombardi is going to be the QB to start. But, I mean, Theo Day in the mix, Peyton Thorne in the mix. Those are really the 3 big names in the mix right now. Lombardi, Day, Thorne. Lombardi, we saw him come in during that stretch of football when Brian Lewerke was dealing with the shoulder injury And Lombardi comes in, his debut against Purdue, goes in there and wins the game, has a great game. Fans at Spartan Stadium are chanting, Rocky, Rocky. Yo, Adrian. But after that, Rocky Lombardi was up and down. But the fact that he took those reps, took those snaps, Rocky Lombardi has the most experience. So I think he'll start. But just how long of a leash will Rocky Lombardi have in the eyes of Mel Tucker, I don't know. You know, if he has a quarter where, you know, he throws a pick or two, is he being snagged? And do we see Theo Day come in or Peyton Thorne come in? How many bad games, how many bad snaps do you give Rocky Lombardi? Again, I think he's going to be the starting quarterback to at least begin the year. Lombardi in that debut against Purdue, that took place in 2018. He was 26 of 46 for 318 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Which is why that following Monday, I mean, when I did Current Sports that following Monday, I remember taking calls from many of you out there, and you were saying, uh-oh, Al, we've got a quarterback controversy here. Lewerke's not getting it done. Did you see what Lombardi did against Purdue? And people thought he was like the second coming of, I don't know, Connor Cook. I mean, he was great. No doubt about it. But he has struggled in those other – he did struggle in those other 15 appearances, completing just 38% of his passes, 49 for 129, for 494 yards, one touchdown, and he threw five interceptions. So, yeah. I don't know, man. And in other positions right now, we have no idea. We have no idea. This could be a tough year for the Spartans, but again, I think it could be a special one for them. Just because, you know, I believe there are so many Big Ten teams out there, the majority of them, who just aren't fully prepared for this season. And then you throw in the fact that we will see positive COVID-19 cases occur in the Big Ten because they have occurred in other conferences. Heck, we just saw, you know, Nick Saban have to deal with COVID-19. And that turned out to be a false positive. You know, if you test positive and then after that, You have three negative tests. I mean, it's a false positive. But Nick Saban's dealt with it, and other programs are dealing with it. So, you know, how do you deal with this moving forward? I mean, it's going to happen. Outbreaks are going to happen, folks. So, with it being a different and weird year, how do you deal with it? You know, I just don't know. And it may give, again, it could go one of two ways. It could give Michigan State an advantage because you're playing these teams who are dealing with changing personnel just like you are on a weekly basis that may bode well in your favor. And I think Mel Tucker as well can let his hair down. Oh, hold on. He's bald. He doesn't have any hair. But Mel Tucker is what I mean. He can coach freely here with not a lot of pressure on him. The pressure that Mel Tucker is dealing with is so minimal because of how different this year is. You know, I've stated numerous times he could go out there and not win a game this season, and his job is safe and secure. And I think many fans would look at it and say, well, look at everything that Mel Tucker is dealing with right now. I mean, come on now. Also, I want to throw out Some numbers for Theo Day and Peyton Thorne as well, the other two guys who are really in the mix here, alongside Rocky Lombardi. Day got what, 6 snaps in 2 games last year as a redshirt freshman, 2 of 3 against Penn State. Then he yanked Day, who was a grad of Dearborn Divine Child. Shout out to my high school, Annapolis High School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. We used to go at it against Dearborn Divine Child all the time. He is a Dearborn Divine Child grad, and he was yanked. Peyton Thorne did not play while sitting out his first season. He did travel and dress for some road games. He's 6'2", 197, and Day is 6'5", 222. Big guys, especially Day, 6'5", my goodness. But Thorne, 6'2", 197, he's from Illinois. He comes from 2 storied football lineage high schools. I just think that, you know, we don't know much about him because he hasn't taken any snaps, and we don't know much about, for that matter, we don't know much about Theo Day either. So, on tomorrow's current sports, I'm going to dive into other positions here. I'm also going to take a look at Michigan, and we're going to take a look at the Big Ten as a whole and which teams are favored to win it all. I mean, no doubt Ohio State is the favorite to win the Big Ten this year, like they usually are. That's Ohio State for you. But which teams are in the middle of the pack could surprise some people. And I think we all know who the bottom barrel of the Big Ten will continue to be. But, hey, it's the year of COVID. I may have some surprise predictions for you guys this upcoming year. So we'll dive more into that on tomorrow's current sports. But I want to know, where are you at as a fan? Where is your headspace when it comes to Michigan State football this upcoming year? How do you believe Mel Tucker will perform? Not just on Saturday, but throughout the season. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail at that number, okay? Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll have Throwback Thursday for you, and I'll further elaborate on 2 really interesting college stories concerning Odell Beckham Jr., former LSU football star, now star wide receiver in the NFL, playing for the Cleveland Browns. And now Pat Chambers is not coaching the Penn State men's basketball team for some really shocking allegations. We'll be right back, folks. You are listening to the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And right now, I do have Throwback Thursday for you. We haven't done Throwback Thursday in quite a long time. But I got a few events for you guys. Each and every Thursday, we hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. And on this day, which is October 22nd, back in 1939 on this day, the first televised pro football game was telecast from New York as Brooklyn defeated Philly 23-14. How about that? The first televised pro football game was telecast. And now it's a big-time industry, right? So much money is made from televised sports. It's crazy. All right, but that began in 1939, at least in the sport of football. In 1950 on this day, the Los Angeles Rams set an NFL record by defeating the Baltimore Colts. Check this score. 70. Yes, they put up a 70-piece against the Baltimore Colts, who scored 27 points. That's crazy, right? We're going to see, like, I think we're going to see, like, 80 one day in today's modern-day NFL. I mean, offense has dominated this year, right? But it's become an offensive league for sure. I mean, you can't even breathe on the quarterback without it, you know, being a flag now. But, yeah, it's just a crazy, crazy time we're living in, watching these high scores on the weekly in the National Football League today. But that score, 70-27, that was a record score for a regular season game, you think, back in 1950. On this day back in 2000, Corey Dillon of the Cincinnati Bengals, he ran for 278 yards against the Denver Broncos. And on this day back in 2011, Albert Pujols of the St. Louis Cards, he became the third player to hit three home runs in a World Series game. That's pretty special stuff. And, you know, as I noted earlier in our headliners, you know, you can add that to on this day in sports history. You know, the fact that the World Series game from last night, Brandon Lowe becoming the first player to hit two opposite field homers in a World Series game. Yeah, we'll be talking about that for years to come as the World Series is now tied up. So do I have anything else? No, that is about it. I also want to note that the Zozo Championship is also taking place. I believe that's out in Japan. That's where Tiger Woods won on the tour prior to the Masters victory. He's the defending champion right now. And Tiger Woods actually has teed off at 1:45 p.m. So I'm going to be checking him out. Actually, no, it's not in Japan this year. They moved it to California. He's in Cali right now. Yeah, because I remember seeing an interview with him on Instagram talking about Cali and, you know, how good it is to be a sports fan in California right now. The L.A. Lakers winning the NBA Finals and now the L.A. Dodgers in the World Series. So we'll see if Tiger Woods can defend his Zozo Championship again. 1:45 p.m. was his tee time. Okay, so we'll bring you on home with this. Odell Beckham Jr., just brief thoughts on this. Odell Beckham Jr. has now been banned from LSU. LSU has self-imposed penalties, and they deemed Beckham, the former Tiger star, they deemed his actions very, very wrong. seeing as though he gave $2,000 in cash to four Tigers football players on the field, which, I mean, if you're going to do this, Odell, first off, I mean, you know that we haven't reached a point yet in college sports where we're paying college athletes. We're almost there, but not there yet. So if you're going to give them cash, why don't you just wait until after the game, well after the game, when you don't have television cameras, or when you don't have in the locker room players whipping out their phones and taking pictures with the national championship trophy, where you have a possibility of being caught on camera exchanging money, not exchanging, giving money, I should say, to players. I mean, come on, man. It's 2020. Cameras are all around. We all know this happens. This happens. This is not breaking news, folks. Former big-time pro athletes who play for said universities, they give money to the current college athletes for their schools. It happens. But just don't get caught on camera doing it. So Odell Beckham Jr. got caught on camera doing it, and now he's banned 2 years. So I just wanted to highlight the stupidity of OBJ in this instance, because, come on, man, you got to be smarter than this. Got to be smarter than that. And then Pat Chambers, again, these allegations are not great. I mean, you know, referring to a noose, when trying to, chastise one of your players, this incident allegedly taking place, with Rasir Bolton. Be careful. Because, but at the end of the day, if he did do this, I'm glad that he's no longer coaching, because, I mean, that's just blatantly racist, right? Referencing a noose. Rasir Bolton is an African-American. He's a black player. I mean, come on, dude. So, Yeah, Pat Chambers doesn't deserve to coach another game at Penn State, let alone anywhere else. All right?
If this is true.
I have to say that. All right, folks. We'll see you on the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be previewing Michigan State and Rutgers, diving into the matchup. I'll take a hardcore look at, you know, the Big Ten as a whole. It'll be a Michigan State football special tomorrow. You don't want to miss it, folks. Until then, be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.